Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's our Throwback Thursday. We're doing 80s TV themes. Golden Girls debuted on NBC on this date, but, you know, this is Knight Rider. If you grew up in the 80s, this was the best show on TV. It's a talking car, for crying out loud. Connor O'Gara joins us on a Progressive Guest Line Saturday down south. Talk football, mostly SEC football. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. You know, I can't weigh in on that subject as someone who was born in 1990.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
You didn't get the joy of growing up watching a guy drive a talking vehicle that could drive itself, and you could play Pac-Man in it if you wanted to. It was unbelievable. What a joy it was. That was crazy. It was a crazy show. All right, let's get to the SEC. I don't want to overblow this, but I have you on for this reason. When you are on the top, people want to take shots. And when you have a couple of weeks where Florida State's beating LSU and North Carolina, albeit a ranked North Carolina team, beats South Carolina, and Alabama's losing at home to Texas, the shots are coming. Is that a real thing? Is there some concern that the SEC is down this year after 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think that there's no denying the SEC has had a bad season so far. The best SEC win is Ole Miss winning against a group of five team that had a backup quarterback. I mean, yeah. Think about that. That's where we're at right now, and that's not to take anything away from what Tennessee did against Virginia, but Virginia is a very overmatched team. It's, you know, it's playing with heavy hearts in the state of Tennessee. So, like, look, I think that it's perfectly fair to say the SEC has been really disappointing. How many SEC teams feel better than where they felt in the month of August? Think about that.
Right.
How many teams actually feel like their team has at least met expectations? Even Ole Miss, like, that was a dogfight last week, and they really had to dig deep to be able to come out with that victory. The final score didn't really indicate that. And then you kind of look up and down the conference, you're like, man, so many of these teams have just gotten off to slow starts in very winnable games. And then obviously the Power Five games, it's not just that, you know, the SEC came up on the short end of these. Like, LSU got blown out by Florida State. I was at that game. I was dominated. They got dominated in the second half. Bama lost by double digits to Texas and Florida, losing to a backup quarterback against Utah. Like, you just look up and down these games, you're like, yeah, the SEC has been disappointing, and it's perfectly fair to point that out.
All right, let's get to Alabama. Now, sometimes you can lose and it not be indicating of anything that may be wrong. You just lost a football game. But what is wrong with Alabama? They lost in the trenches in that game, but what else is wrong with Alabama?
It's a complacent football team. It's as simple as that. This was a team that all year we heard about, hey, this is, or all offseason rather, we hear about the disrespect. J.C. Latham gets to SEC Media Day, says, you know, we're being disrespected. We're going undefeated. We're winning a national championship. How dare you doubt us, blah, blah, blah. And then they play that game against Texas, and Tyler Booker goes on with my friends at the next round and talks about how they took winning for granted, and they didn't have a good week of practice, and they weren't really ready to go for this one. I'm like, it was Texas. This is the game that everybody's been talking about all year. What are you doing? You can't get up for this one, and if you're going to be that undisciplined, man, I just have some serious questions about you. And I was the one saying, I think Alabama's going 11-1. They're going to get to the SEC championship. And now I'm looking at this going, man, I don't think there's any way that they're going to run the table the rest of the regular season and get to Atlanta. This is a very flawed team right now that doesn't have any one specific thing that they can truly hang their hat on to pull them out of these moments, much like what they had last year in the year before with Bryce Young, obviously.
You mentioned the LSU-Florida State game. I'm like a lot of people. I was blown away how dominant Florida State was at the end of that game. What was the problems with LSU? How did a tight game turn into a walk away for Florida State?
LSU was arrogant, and it wasn't physically tough enough, and it overthought things. I mean, is that enough for you? Like, this is a more flawed team than people were realizing, because even in the midst of their turnaround last year, they still got waxed by that Texas A&M team that was 4-7, and they still got absolutely embarrassed that night. And we kind of overlooked that. We overlooked the issues that they had in the secondary. And everybody, you know, was talking about this Jaden Daniels buzz. And for him to be number two in the preseason Heisman odds, I'm just like, what are we doing here? I got mocked for saying that LSU was going to lose two games in the month of September. Now, I thought one of them would be against Florida State. I didn't think they'd get blown out. But their issue is they don't really have a lot of offensive flow. And when the running game is still so predicated on Jaden Daniels being able to scramble and not necessarily having more of a traditional rushing attack. And then the experiment with Harold Perkins as an off-ball linebacker so far has been a failed one. And you've taken your best possible asset and you've neutralized him because of a decision that you made. So, yeah, I think LSU just has a lot more flaws than a lot of people cared to admit when they were picking them to go to the playoff in the preseason.
When you Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher had problems last year, and it's continuing this year, losing on the road to Miami. Where are they with Jimbo Fisher? What's the pulse or what's the temperature in College Station between that fan base and that administration and that head coach?
They're in college football hell. That's what they're in. They're in hell because there are 76.8 million reasons why Jimbo Fisher is not getting fired.
Yeah.
Okay. Like this isn't. He loses one game. Now he's fired. Now, I think what's really depressing is to look at Miami, where they were at last year, and to think, wow, they're already ahead of A&M in year six, a team that we were once talking about 2023 being a championship window because of how good that 2022 class was and how historic it was. And the irony is that I think offensively they look great. I love what I've seen from Connor Wigman so far, and I've been so impressed with him in running the Bobby Petrino offense, and they're finally doing the things that they did not do the last 2 years. So, like, from that standpoint, it's great. But defensively, they're just a total disaster. And for a group that has that much talent, it's really inexcusable. And to me, like, that's the bigger issue. And it's probably more like, you know, they could be getting back to an 8-4 type team. I think they're still going to improve this year because when you're 5-7, the only way you have to go is up. But it's a problem. And it's going to be more about Jimbo Fisher having basically the lowest possible approval rate for a head coach heading into year seven.
Is there any team, and it's only 2 weeks in, some of these teams haven't really played anybody, but is there anybody popping just based on your analysis and saying, you know what, I know they've played these two teams, they should have won by double digits, but this team is actually looking better than I thought, or however you're defining it?
Yeah, definitely no one in the SEC that's looking better than I thought. I mean, it's difficult because I think,
yeah,
and this is going to be kind of nerdy, but like Arkansas's passing game is the one to keep in mind and see how it looks this weekend against the BYU team that they put up over 600 yards of offense against. But like KJ Jefferson taking that next step, I've been saying all offseason KJ Jefferson's the best quarterback in the SEC. He's one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. I love that dude. He's taking that next step in Dan Enos' offense, despite the fact that they lost Rocket Sanders week one. And they had obviously real running game issues so far in that offensive line that Sam Pittman has expressed concern about. But KJ and a very unproven group of receivers has looked really, really good. And if they continue that in week three, I think that'll be a testament to his maturation and his ability to handle this new scheme.
It feels weird to look at the SEC standings and go, all right, we're 3 weeks in, we're really early, and yet there's only one team with a single digit next to its name. That's Georgia.
Yeah,
everyone else is 10 or below.
Yeah, it's 2016. That's
right.
That's what the
good point
is, right? Yeah, like 2016 is kind of the feel where like Alabama was heads and shoulders the best team in college football that year. And you remember like LSU losing the season opener against Wisconsin, and it was a bunch of disappointing teams that season. A&M was super disappointing. Auburn was really disappointing. And you kind of look up, they're like, all right, it's just Bama and everybody else. And it just kind of feels like that sort of year with the SEC. And who knows? I mean, the SEC will probably send somebody to the national championship yet again, because that's what they always do. But you're still kind of wondering like, man, this is just not the depth that we thought it was going to be this year.
Real quick, and I got a minute, but I wanted to ask you about Texas, because they are coming to the conference next year, and people have been saying, hey, Steve Sarkisian has been recruiting for SEC play. Are you buying that? Is it what you saw from them, a coach that knew what was coming down the line and said, look, we're going to enter this conference like Texas A&M and Missouri did, playing well as soon as we get there?
Yes. There's no question. If there was a question that we wanted to have answered last weekend in Tuscaloosa, that was it right there. Can this team really go toe-to-toe with an SEC contender, a national championship contender? And they did, and they punched him in the mouth.
They did.
Their ability to rush the passer, to me, like, and how good they looked in the trenches, that confirmed what we've been saying. Like, this is a Texas offensive line that returned to everybody. And if you're going to return to everybody, you better look like that. And they did. And to me, like, they answered that question in such an emphatic way, in a way that Oklahoma didn't, even when they were getting to the college football playoff year in, year out. And I think any questions that we had about whether or not Texas was going to be ready for the SEC was answered in a pretty big way in Tuscaloosa.
Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South. Always good talking to you, my friend. I know we'll do that down the road. I really appreciate it, my man.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, man.
You got it. Connor O'Gara. And yeah, look at Texas A&M did this too. I mean, Texas A&M and Missouri were two teams that got into the SEC and they got told, yeah, it's going to take you years, years before you're any good. This is a whole different world, kids. That Big 12, oh, just push that aside. That's baby football. Wait till you get here. Missouri, in a blink of an eye, was playing in the SEC title, winning the East, winning a weak East. And Texas A&M came in with Johnny Manziel, beat Alabama, played Alabama tough the next year in College Station. So Texas, again, like he said, showed, hey, if we knew what we were going to be heading into, and they have done that and showed up in Tuscaloosa last weekend.